Okay, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And we are right on the timeline. We are 1 week after Resurrection Sunday. Not only are we 1 week after Resurrection Sunday, but in the Scripture, that's where we're at. Chapter 20, starting with the 24th verse. It says, "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it.'" A week later, that's today, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. We give you praise. Lord, we thank you that you indeed are the risen Lord. And that you're not a fable. You're not an urban legend. You're not just a story on the internet. But that, Lord, you are real. Lord, we just come right now to be encouraged by your word. And Father, I pray that you would anoint me to speak your word with truth and power. Father, might I speak not in my strength, but through yours. And Lord, I pray right now that every word of truth would be caught and believed. But Lord, if there is anything that I say that is not of you, that is not truth, Lord, I pray it would fall upon deaf ears. That it would be as if it was never spoken and ye not heard. Oh Lord, be present here, manifestly present. Let your Holy Spirit move amongst us here now. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have heard the story of Doubting Thomas? It's one of those favorite Bible stories that we hear of kids. But not everybody got a chance to grow up in the church hearing Bible stories. That was a privilege I had as a kid. I grew up in the church. I don't remember a time where I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. I always loved God. My whole life. I did. But there are some people who didn't grow up in the church so much. They might have been attached to a church a little bit, kind of, sort of, maybe. Donna has that kind of a life, the way she was brought up. She was one of those, you know, that they went to church for five reasons. It was Christmas or it was Easter. A baby was getting baptized. A funeral or a wedding. Those were the reasons you entered a church. And they didn't even go to all the Christmas and Easters and all the weddings and all the funerals. You know, those were the reasons why you went. Donna, as an infant, was baptized. And she didn't go to church many more times beyond that. A funeral here, a wedding there, an occasional Christmas or Easter. So when she and I got married, it was different because I grew up church home. You know, I was church every Sunday. We went to get married, and you know, our counseling session lasted all 15 minutes before we, for the pastor. We had 15 minutes, half hour maybe with the pastor, which kind of included planning for the wedding. And that was it. And we lived a few years together, and we attended a church off and on, but didn't work for Donna. It just wasn't working. Because she didn't grow up in the church. She didn't know about church. But every time she went to church, because we had little kids and she did daycare, she was in the nursery. 5 Sundays we were in church, she'd be in the nursery 5 Sundays. So she wasn't learning. She didn't know about God. And, you know, she just didn't feel like going to church. So I kind of stopped pushing. It was kind of falling back on my role as head of the household. Well, long story short, and up a little bit, came to a point where I had a new job and I'm working for a guy who's Jehovah's Witness. And my boss is answering Donna's questions about faith. And I'm telling her, no, Jehovah's Witness really doesn't have the truth. Who they say Jesus is isn't really it. But, you know, she didn't know. And I really wasn't doing anything beyond saying, Well, my mom was praying. She was praying that Lord would get a hold of us both, and would particularly get a hold of Donna, and would find us a good church. Well, we'd moved up to Princeton when we didn't know anybody, and Donna was decided one day to pray. She didn't know God, but she said, "Look, God, if you're real, tell me where I should go to church, whether I should go to the Lutheran church over here or whether I should go to the Jehovah's Witness." Hour later, she got a phone call from a gal who she'd met, inviting her to visit the Lutheran church that day. She said, "Oh, God, you do answer prayer." Now, we went to that church. That didn't work so good for us, but we eventually found the church home. But God answered that prayer. Donna prayed an earnest prayer. She wanted God to reveal himself to her. And she put it in ways that she could understand. God heard that prayer. God answered that prayer. Now, we are told in one place in Scripture to test God. That's when it comes to tithing. This isn't testing. This is a calling out to God. God, show me you're real. That's not testing God. Okay, at least I wouldn't put it in that phrase. See, this is an earnest cry of the heart saying, God, are you out there? That's not a test. It's a, hello, I'm afraid. I want to know. And I believe God answers those prayers. I believe God answers all prayer. But this is a prayer that I get people who are doubters about God. Doubt that God is real. I said, will you pray with me that God would reveal to you that he's real? Some people say no. Why? Why do they say no? Because they're not really doubters. They have a deep set certitude that there isn't God, and they're not ready. And even if you show them the truth, they're not going to listen. There are people who still believe the earth is flat. They're out there. That's all make-believe stuff about the round. Yeah, that's. Some people don't know because now there's people that hold all sorts of different ideas, and you can come back and you can show them that they're wrong, but they still won't accept it. That's not doubt. What Thomas had here was doubt. See, Thomas knew that Jesus was special. He'd seen the miracles. He believed Jesus was indeed the Christ. But he didn't understand what that meant. That Jesus had to die for our sins. Oops. You know, it's in Scripture, and we go back and look at it now, and we can plainly see this. But that really wasn't what they were expecting the Christ to do, the Messiah. They were expecting the Messiah to lead a rebellion, raise an army, have his soldiers, think of this. Lazarus was several days in the grave, and they said, Lord, don't raise him up. Don't open the grave there because it's going to stink. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out and said, now hold it. Now, see, he can heal people. He can even raise the dead. He can get us food. This is the guy I want in charge of logistics for my army. This is what they're thinking. Because they're thinking in human terms. The way humans would do things. The way I would solve the problem is I bring more force to it. Right? God brought mercy and grace to give us freedom from our sin. Now, as Thomas is there, he's saying, I don't believe you guys. There's a part of him that wants to. But he saw Jesus dead and buried. That's hard to overcome. Okay? I've seen people dead and buried. You told me you saw him again next week, I'd be like, I'm having a hard time. I'm having a real hard time with that one. But it wasn't just one person. It wasn't literally what we have when we look at Scripture is there's a testimony of over 500 that saw Jesus after he was resurrected. And we have Thomas, who had made the statement, I'm not going to believe unless I can see and I can touch him with my own hands and know that I'm not being fooled. Anybody here ever been fooled by a magician? Somebody with a sleight of hand? Play three card Monty? Something like that? The guy running the show all knows the trick and fools you every time. He says, No. I'm not going to allow you to rig the game and trick me. I'm gonna get in there and touch it and feel it and know that it's real. God honored that prayer. Donna prayed a prayer. Just as she was coming to know, Lord, I'm not sure on the timing on this, if this was just before she really accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior or just after. But she prayed, Lord, talk about having a relationship with you. Why can't I have a relationship with my earthly father? This is a man who she hadn't had communication with in over 20 years. And we got home and the phone was ringing and it was her father. Now speaks with him regularly. Has a good relationship with him. God answers prayer. When we say, God, reveal yourself to us, he answers that prayer. When Thomas literally prayed, doesn't sound like a prayer maybe, because we didn't word it the way we would maybe sometimes word our prayers, but it was. It was a prayer because it was the cry of his heart. That's a real prayer. It's not the words that we say. It's what's in our heart. Are we believing? Are we asking, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. I guarantee you that if you pray that prayer, God will reveal himself to you. The question is, will you believe his answer? Will you accept it when it comes? I mean, we've got stories in the Bible. Just lost the guy's name. Somebody here will tell me. Guy who laid out a little sheepskin. Gideon. Yeah, that's it, dude. Gideon lays out a sheepskin. Says, Lord, let the dew fall on the sheepskin. But nowhere else. Or no, first the dew falls everywhere but on the sheepskin. Boom. Second time, that wasn't good enough. So he tried him again and say, okay, Lord, let's have the dew fall only on the sheepskin and not on the ground. He wasn't quite willing to accept that first answer. God answered the question. I've been praying about whether or not God's calling me to go to Liberia. Go to Africa as part of an African summit for the College of Prayer. And I put a bunch of sheepskins out there. He keeps answering yes. I keep throwing another one out there because I want to make sure. Why am I not taking the first answer? Why do we do that? I don't know. I'm stupid. I don't know why you do it. Me, I'm stubborn. Sometimes I want to do things my way. God, you want me to go that way or that way? Well, that wasn't the answer I wanted. So let me ask this question again. You ever do that? Ask somebody, do you want me to do this stuff, but don't give you the answer you want? So you ask the question again, and you ask it, keep asking, trying to get the answer you wanted? I'm the only one that's done this? See, one hand back there. Take two. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Doubt's not a sin, people. Thomas didn't sin by doubting. He cried out to God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And he answered the prayer. Jesus also gives us this comment here, though. He says, then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. He's literally talking to us through the ages. How many of you have seen Jesus? Not too many of us. I've seen Jesus' hand move in my life. I have seen Jesus with skin on, if you would, what's being referred to as those who are followers of Christ who are working with his guidance and direction. I have seen God's hand move in ways I know he's there. I've got an aunt. Or I had an aunt. She's passed. Both my aunts have died. But it was named Gloria. She lived in California when I was a kid. She was around when I was real little. But I remember meeting her twice. Once in second grade when my grandfather died. And once my freshman year of college when my grandmother died. She came to both funerals. Other than that, didn't meet her. So, somebody who I'd met, and I can tell you about her. How many of you believe me that I have an Aunt Gloria? Okay, Jason has never met Aunt Gloria. That would be his great aunt. But he's heard stories about her. He's seen pictures of her. You know, I used to get cards, occasional birthday card, the graduation gift card. You know, you have to send an announcement that you're having a graduation open house so that you get the cards back with the $20 bill in it. Remember those cards that you sent out when you were graduating from high school? I did those. Only time I ever sent out cards in my life. I didn't even send them out for my wedding. My wife did it. But Gloria's real. How many of you doubt that my Aunt Gloria exists? You believe on the testimony of somebody who had known her and met her, even though I'd only met her a couple of times. Here we have the testimony of those who have met Jesus here in Scripture. And it's written here so that we can believe. And here's the neat thing about God. Is He will meet us when we didn't expect it. And if you ask God to show you that He's real, you will meet Him. Or you will at least meet His hand. You will meet the Creator of the universe in a special way. And you will know that you met Him. What's it going to look like, Pastor? I don't know. It depends on you. But you know what is required for that? Is for that to be a real prayer, a real cry of your heart. If you just say, "Oh Jesus, if you are real, show me. I don't believe it, but show me. And even if you show me, I'm not going to accept it." What's the cry of your heart there? There is no cry. There is no... God doesn't do tricks just to entertain us. This is what the chief priests and the rabbi and the Pharisees and scribes all wanted Jesus to. This is what Pontius Pilate and King Herod wanted Jesus to. Do me a trick. Do me a miracle. If you're really God, do this. He'd healed. They knew who He had healed. He'd raised people from the dead. He knew. They knew they were dead and He'd raised them. He'd fed thousands with nothing. They knew that He'd done it. They didn't. They weren't going to accept it. Why? Because if they believed that He indeed was the Christ, that would mean that His authority superseded theirs and that He was in fact their Lord. That would mean that they would need to bow their knees to Him, to submit their will, their life, their all in all. They were not going to do that no matter what. We have seen the last couple of years some really violent changes in governments around the world. When we look at the country of Libya, we have a dictator who was there who would not accept that his time had come to an end and wasn't going to see until finally he was killed. We have this story that happened in several places. These violent people are in places of power and somebody is coming against them, and the writing's on the wall and everybody can see that the time has come for a change, they're saying, nope, 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 la, 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 you can't make me change. I'm not going to step back. I won't relinquish what I've got. I won't believe it. I won't believe it. That's the way some people are with the gospel message. That's the stone where the seed falls, nothing grows. But where there's a doubting heart, where there's a heart that's just saying, if you show me, God, that you're real, I'm going to believe it. If you show me in the way that I can know and understand your reality, I'll accept it. I believe God answers that prayer. But you have to be willing to open your eyes and listen, open your eyes and ears and listen for His answer, because it will come. It may not come in the way you expect it. Donna did not expect God to answer her phone, her prayers twice with phone calls. Once a phone call inviting her to church, another time a phone call from her father who she'd been estranged from for 20 years. But God does answer. I asked God for two things to tell me whether or not I should be going to Liberia. Going to the African Summit this next August. One was that Donna would say that I should go. And two, that He would provide the resources that I need. And He's done both of those. So now I have to go and go, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Really? No, now I need to go back to the board and talk to them. They're saying, well, why haven't we heard about this? Because God just answered the prayer the other day. But this is the way God works. If we go to Him and we pray, He answers. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is yes. Do you doubt God? I ask you. Do you doubt His existence? Do you doubt that Jesus is the Christ? If you do, that's okay. I would ask you to pray this one prayer. Jesus, if you're real, reveal yourself to me.